And all God's people said,
Amen.
Thank you, you choir. Wonderful. It was been a thrilling morning already. It's great to be here. Brother Jimmy, I forgot that right there. Thank you. Great to be in your church this morning. And in the early service, had met some of your great senior adults. Just to be honest with you, I'm a senior adult. How many senior adults in here? Any? A few? Well, I wasn't always a senior adult, but I am right now living out God's call on our life. My wife, Lena, is praying for us today. She's worshiping in our home church there in Dallas, Texas. I spent 25 years in engineering. My wife spent about that long teaching school. And while we're in that process of, I was engineering manager for a company in Houston, Texas, and she was teaching school. But in that time frame, I really loved engineering, and it's a long story about how God can put you in a position and maintain that position in your life as long as He's in control of your life. But in that process of being an engineer, I love engineering stories, and so this story here is a true story of Charles Stamets. He worked 35 years for General Electric, and he retired. He'd been home about a month, and one day the plant manager called him and said, Charles, we're in terrible shape. The major computer system has broken down, and we have not hired anybody to replace you. Can you come down and just kind of become a consultant for us for a few days and get this thing fixed? Well, Charles liked that idea, so he got dressed and got his tools together and went down to the plant, began to check out all this great big computer back then, long, long time ago, and a little bitty part was defective. And he had a piece of chalk in his pocket, and he put a little X on the piece of equipment and said, replace this, and you'll be up and running in no time. Well, they brought in the technicians, and they took it apart, fixed it, flipped the switch, and up and running. The plant manager said, Charles, how can we thank you enough? I guess you're just going to be our consultant for a while, so why don't you just go home and send us a bill? And Charles liked that idea. And he went home and got him a piece of paper and put for services rendered, Charles Stamets, put the date, $10,000. And he put it in an envelope, kind of official-like, mailed it to the plant manager. When the plant manager got it, he opened it up, and he liked to just had a heart attack. He said, $10,000, there's no way. So he took a big red marks a lot and said, please itemize. And he mailed it back to Charles. And Charles got it, and he took a big black marks a lot, and he said, one chalk mark, $1. Knowing where to put it, $9,999. True story. And the company paid the bill. Just for a second this morning, put your hand, everybody please, just put your hand over your heart for just a minute and just keep it there for just a second. And you might ought to say, thank you, Lord, that my heart is still beating. Thank you, Lord, that I'm in your house today to worship you. Keep it there just a minute. I'd like to pray for us. Father, thank you that you know where to put the X in all of our hearts. And Father, today as we talk about your great salvation and living out your call in our life, I pray the Holy Spirit will put the X on every person's heart here, all the adults, the young people, even the older children. Lord, you know where to put the X this morning, and so we ask you to do that there by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. The idea of, in your bulletin outline there, we've given you a kind of a sermon outline that we'll be thinking about, but I want you to kind of think about it from a little bit different perspective. I want you to think about living out, being called and accountable, but living out under God's umbrella of His great salvation. Now, we have an umbrella. Now, somebody said, you're not going to open that, are you? And I said, I am. I'm going to take this umbrella and I'm going to push it up here I think I will, if I can get it open here. Surely there's a place here where it will open up. There it is. Looky there. Now that represents a wonderful, truthful picture of God's great salvation. When you came to know Him as Lord and Savior of your life, you came under His umbrella. Think about it this way, that the umbrella has some things that happen underneath it. We spend our whole life under God's umbrella of His great salvation. The word regeneration takes place under this His umbrella here. That's all of your past takes place under this umbrella. And then the sanctification part of it is the present time. That's where all of us are right now. If we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're in a process. And then the last one is glorification. One day we'll be glorified with Him and we will bring glory to Him. That's the future. So you have past, present, and future of God's great salvation that you're living out every day. And at some point in time when you accepted Christ, hopefully you came under His umbrella. Now the problem is that sometimes we don't always live under the umbrella, and that's the purpose for understanding what it means to be called and accountable. You see, God is a moving force in the design of His product. He's finishing. He's out to complete what He started in His great salvation. It's a lifetime process that produces the product. Think about it this way. Regeneration, when you first came to Christ, that's the beginning of the product. You hear God's call. You heard Him call you to Himself. He drew you to Himself at some point in time. If He hasn't done that, pray that He will this morning, that you'll come under God's umbrella of His great salvation. So, and it's the lifetime process. So regeneration is the beginning of the product, and that's when you first hear God's call. He calls you to Himself. He didn't just call you to go to heaven. He called you into a love relationship with Himself. And then the second part of it is the making of the product, sanctification. We're in process. Nobody is finished yet, amen? And nobody has arrived yet in a spiritual sense. We're under construction. I told the other group earlier today, maybe we ought to wear a button every day of our life to remind us, please be patient with me, I'm still under construction. Amen? We're still under construction. And then the last part here, the glorification is a completion of the product. I will complete God's call on my life. So just think about that umbrella for a little bit. We'll leave it open just as an example this morning of God's great salvation in our life. When I first began to think about living out God's call in our life, I was certainly in the process of becoming what God wanted us to be. Lena and I were both saved at a pretty young age and grew up in the church. And then later on in life, this is true for her and it's true for me, because we didn't understand God's great salvation, our lives did not agree with what God wanted us to be. We were in the church, but we were not actually under that umbrella. And so in my life, it happened at Woodridge Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, and in Lena's life, it happened a little while later in the same place. But we were in the church, but again, nobody had ever told us, explained to us what I've just explained to you, that it's a lifetime process of living out God's call. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. This next, in March, when this team comes, we'll be modeling out what Richard and Henry Blackaby, what Henry and Norman Blackaby wrote in a book called Called and Accountable. And the subtitle is Discovering Your Place in God's Eternal Purpose. And my question to you this morning, have you discovered your place in God's eternal purpose? Young people, have you discovered your place in God's eternal purpose in your life? And so we need to answer that question. And because there a whole lot's at stake when you if we don't operate under God's great salvation. Passage of scripture that we'd like to take a look at this morning is in Philippians 1:6. And if you'll open your Bibles there, actually I'm going to just go ahead and read all these scriptures out of Philippians all at one time, and then we'll be through with those and can move on with our message here this morning. But Philippians 1:6, a great passage of scripture, says, being confident of this very thing, that who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So whatever Jesus has started in this salvation process, he is going to complete. Now the part that's exciting is look at Philippians 2 verse 12, the second part of that, and verse 13. It says here, the latter part of Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, that has nothing to do with working for your salvation, but it has everything to do with God completing his salvation. Because God expects us to work out what he's working in. And if we're not working in his word and working under that umbrella of his great salvation, then God cannot complete what he wants to do in our life. Look at verse 13. It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So the whole idea of salvation is it's a process that God is wanting to complete, and he will complete it. But we have to cooperate with him in that endeavor. And then actually, while we're looking at that particular passage of scripture there, to turn over to Philippians chapter 4 just a minute, and let me read verses 11 and 12, and we'll have that behind us here when we get to those here in just a minute. Philippians 4, 11 through 12. Philippians 4 and verse 11. I'm sorry. Ephesians. Excuse me. Let's go over to Ephesians just a minute. Ephesians 4. That's what I wanted to hear. Verses 11 and 12. I'm sure your pastor has preached on this before, but again, this comes under God's umbrella, that in the church that he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And when you think about that, God has placed you in the body for a reason, for a purpose. And to me, when you a part of discovering God's call on your life is to understand the way that God wants you to work out that great salvation within the body of Christ. He placed you here for a reason. It took me a long time in my life to realize that God put me in his church and under that umbrella to live out his great salvation as part of that church body. I just kind of functioned independently for a long, long time in my life, and I missed really what God was attempting to do in my life at that point. And then real quickly, let's look at 2 Corinthians just a minute, and then we'll kind of walk through all of these and give you the points that we really would like to try to make this morning. 2 Corinthians, let's look at first of all 5:17, and 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's just go ahead and read all the way down here. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us. Now, us is the church. Us is First Baptist Church. Us is every member of First Baptist Church. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. In verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to him. And then actually one more there was 5:14. We'll back up there just a moment at the top in my Bible. And it says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died, all died, and then all died. But the key verse there is, for the love of Christ compels us. And here's the idea behind all these scriptures this morning, is that God places you under that umbrella of his great salvation. And God wants to complete what he initiates. He initiated that great salvation in our life. And we continually work out what God is working in. And what's the opposite of that? Well, if God is not working anything in, nothing is going to be worked out. So the ministry has to do with what we allow God and want God to do in us and through us. In our lives, for some reason or another, we neglected that for a long time in our life. We were church members and we were active in church, but we weren't living out really this process that we're talking about this morning. And so it's important that we understand that God wants to work out what we work in as we come under that great umbrella of his salvation. And the other thought about that is that when you think about that, we are new in Christ Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are new creatures. We are brand new in Christ. And I asked myself a note here in my own life, for how new am I in Christ even today? Even though maybe salvation was a long time ago, but am I new in that relationship with him, which we'll talk about in a minute? Am I living out this incredible love relationship with Jesus Christ under that umbrella of his great salvation? And then the second part there, we understand God's call and how we live it out. Ephesians actually tells us how the body fits together, how we're to walk worthy of that great salvation experience, walk worthy of our calling. Another way to put it is, don't stop what God started. Now, how do you stop what God started? Well, you just kind of begin to do your own thing. You become really disobedient to what God tells us to do, and it's real easy to become self-centered instead of God-centered. And when you become self-centered, you basically are going to move out from underneath God's umbrella. He will let you do that, but sooner or later, he will draw you back. He certainly did in our lives. And to me, that was a great part of understanding really God's call on our life, was getting back into that love relationship with him. So God expects us to walk worthy of our calling. Don't stop what he started. We represent Christ to the world. When I was in the engineering field for 25 years, I began to live this out. And I never will forget, we got one of the biggest contracts in the history of our company. It was a big project to be built in Togolati, Russia. We had several companies that were actually doing this project for. And I normally would have given that to somebody else. But as I prayed about, God, how do you want to do this? In other words, I took God to work. Amen? It's a great idea. Take God to work with you. Take God to school with you. Take God wherever you are with you and live out his great salvation. And so I took all those files for that contract and took them in my office and I prayed over them. Very unusual. But again, God was just beginning to work this out in our life. I wanted God to get the glory for what I did at work. I wanted God to somehow or another let us represent him in that engineering company. And God let us do that. Make a long story short, I got to witness to Russian engineers, Russian inspectors, and on and on and on. And we did finish the job ahead of time. And when I left the company many years ago, it was still the highest profit margin job of any job we'd ever had in the history of the company. Now, I'm convinced that God wanted to prove himself to me in a powerful way by living out your salvation in the marketplace. Living out God's great salvation in a school, living out God's, wherever you are, you can live out God's great salvation. I remember going on a business trip one time, and I prayed that morning, Lord, whoever is sitting beside me, well, I want to share my faith with him. And a young man sat beside me, and we got to talking a little bit, and I finally just looked at him, and I said, are you a Christian? And he looked at me, and he said, my name is Kyle Rote. And he opened his briefcase up and gave me his written testimony as a professional soccer player. And we had a great time talking about living out God's great salvation. So, again, God wants us to live it out. Look at the third thing. Understand God's assignments as we represent Him every day of our lives, as we represent Him. We are ambassadors for Christ. That's a great word, ambassador. That has a meaning of authority. It's more than just a messenger. They represent another person. They represent an organization. They represent a government. They represent a high calling. And all Christians are called to be an ambassador for Christ and minister for Him. Had a interesting a couple of guys a few years ago that were going into Cuba to teach the RA program under the Baptist churches. They're alive and well in Cuba. And they invited us to come, Texas Baptist men, to come teach the RA program in Cuba. Two of the guys that were going to go, a guy named Cotton Bridges and another man, the other man's name. But anyway, they went, and they couldn't get the visas filled out in time to finally get there. They just couldn't get them. So they went into the country knowing they could be turned around. But as they were in the line where they were processing all these people coming into Cuba under communism at that point still, armed guards all around, they realized they were in trouble, that they didn't have those visas, and they didn't think they were going to get in. But Cotton Bridges heard a man next to him here mention the word ambassador, and he saw this man give this man a card, and this man stood back, the guard, and saluted and said, come on in. And so he went on by. So Cotton Bridges leaned over to Jose de Leon and said, have you got your RA card with you, your Royal Ambassador card? And Jose looked in his pocket, and sure enough he did, and Cotton Bridges had his, and I just happen to have one as an example, and it says Royal Ambassador. It doesn't say a whole lot else on that, but the Royal Ambassador is all they needed. And as soon as that guard saw those two cards, he stamped their deals and saluted them, and they went on into Cuba. And they had a great time. And several young people that time in Cuba, as they taught the RA program and also high school boys, they came to know Christ. But they went in under the authority of being an ambassador for Christ. It's incredible what God can do in our own life. Right after leaving the engineering field and becoming a full-time volunteer for Texas Baptist Men, working under a guy named Bob Dixon, Lena and I worked as volunteers for 5 years before they finally put me on staff. I was just an unpaid volunteer. A long story behind that. I'll just say this, that when God calls you, whatever you're doing, He called me from the engineering field just to represent Him as a layman. I still am, but that was a long time ago. But God didn't say, I'm going to do this and this and this. He just said, resign, obey me, and I'll fill in the blanks. Kind of scary. But under that umbrella, you can trust God. Amen? Now, if you're not under the umbrella, you're going to have a hard time trusting God. But if you're under the umbrella, you live in a thing that I call, you live out your faith. F-A-I-T-H. Somebody said faith. Fantastic adventure in trusting Him. Amen? Is your life a fantastic adventure in trusting Him? Or is it just routine, mundane? Nothing ever happens. God does not want it to be that way. He wants your faith to be fantastic in Him. So God led us to resign. And for 5 years, by faith, God provided supernaturally for our two daughters to go to Baylor University. Now, Lena was still teaching school, but we started doing these weekends. And then, lo and behold, about this time, as I made that decision to resign the engineering position under that umbrella, God spoke to me 7 days in a row through His Word. And I'm not kidding you. I felt like the ink was still wet when God spoke to me. It can be that real under the umbrella of living out His great salvation. I knew God had spoken to me. And so I obeyed what God asked me to do. And He put all this together after I made the commitment to do that. So God sent us to Guyana on one of the first mission opportunities. Another couple went with us. Here's an engineer, here's a school teacher, here's a salesman, and here's a homemaker. And we're going to Guyana to do a retreat for first generation Christians coming out of a Hindu and a Muslim background. You talk about praying and wanting to, I mean, we prayed every day to be under that umbrella. As we knew what we're going to get into, we thought we did anyway, but to make a long story short, somehow or another, I picked up my daughter's passports instead of mine and Lena's, and an hour out of Guyana, flying into this country, which is not too friendly then, and still isn't today, I discovered I didn't have my passport. Now, what do you do? What do you do when you're under the umbrella, you're on mission for God, but you're a dummy? Amen? Anybody with me on that one? Okay, what do? You pray. Under that umbrella, I'm telling you, nothing's impossible for God. So under that umbrella, we prayed Romans 8, 28, 29. That God will work, He works everything out for the good of those that, what? Love Him and are called according to His purpose. I knew that, and we prayed that. We got into that line, and Lena and the other couple were behind me right there, but I laid those, all we had was really the airline tickets and the wrong passports. And I laid the wrong passport up there, and this guy opened it up, and he saw my daughter's picture, and he looked at me, and I smiled real big, and I said, that's my daughter? I'm a U.S. citizen? I tried to explain to him, he just went like that. So he did it the second time, and he went like that. And the third time, and he went like that. But then God answered the prayer. He reached in his pocket, took out a penknife, and slit the inside cover of that airline ticket open, and he took the official entry stamp into Guyana and stamped both tickets. And we went in. Charles and Mary Love, career missionaries at the time in Guyana, looked at us when we got through, and I told Charles what happened. I thought he went almost ballistic. He said, "You cannot come into this country without a U.S. passport." I said, "Hey, Charles, we're in." And then he asked the next question, "How are you going to get out?" And you know what I said? And I'm serious. I said, "Charles, that's not your responsibility, and that's not mine. That's, say it with me, God's responsibility under the umbrella. He takes all the responsibility." It's when you get out from underneath the umbrella. Now, we do make mistakes under the umbrella. But God, if you're serious about living out that call, has some incredible things. Well, to make a long story short, we had an incredible week with them. You talk about, I use the word, we lived out God's call in an incredible way, and we experienced God to the maximum with those young couples. And the things, some of what we're talking about today was some of the things that we talked about then. This message never gets old. It's probably one of the key core messages for the church today, is to understand that when you got saved, you got called. And you didn't get called to go to heaven. You got called to live out your life fully under the authority of Jesus Christ and to obey His word and do everything He told you to do. Well, when we got ready to leave a week later, the only airplane that the Swedish government owned, it was leased to the Guyana government, and they hadn't paid their bill. So we had no airplane to fly back to Florida on, and we finally got on a little puddle jumpers, and we flew from one island to another, about 17 hours. We finally got back into Miami, and every one of those little islands, I had to tell that story. We came into Miami, and I showed all of that to the, you're coming back in home, but you don't have your passport. I didn't leave with it either. But when I showed that those tickets and how they were stamped, the guy just shook his head and he said, that cannot happen. He said, you're going to have to go see the head guy to come back in. So I walked over there and laid all that stuff up there to him and told him who had been on mission with God. And then I was tired. I hadn't had a hot bath in 10 days, no hot water. I said, I'm ready to come home. I'm ready to go to a hotel. And he looked at me and smiled and he said, well, it's impossible, but we're going. And he stamped them both. Now, what am I saying? When you're living out being called and accountable and you're under that umbrella, there is nothing too hard for God to do in your life, in your family, where you work, in your school, in this church, in this community. And that weekend in March probably has some of the greatest spiritual potential, probably for your church, that maybe has ever come about because of just the nature of it with the lay people that are coming. They pay their own way. They're going to stay in some of your homes over the weekend, Friday and Saturday night. And so I just ask you to be praying about that already. Well, the last part about it here is, for the love of Christ compels us. And I think I am out of time. But 2 Corinthians 5:14, again, for the love of Christ compels us. In the Amplified Bible, it says, for the love of Christ controls us, urges us. It urges us on. So when you think about where you are this morning under that umbrella, now some of you may be here and if you're listening by radio or TV, you don't have a clue what that means to be under that umbrella. Well, if you don't know what that means, it's time this morning to nail that down and be sure that you're a part of God's family by coming under that umbrella by the process that the church really will receive you this morning. I call that a first-time commitment to Jesus Christ, to where you come down the aisle and you talk to Brother Jimmy or one of the pastors here and you make a commitment of that. And you come under that umbrella, and all these things we talked about this morning, plus a whole lot more, become yours because you're now under God's umbrella. But His love is what's drawing you this morning. His love maybe is what's been you've been wrestling with for a long time. But I tell you, He loves you this morning more than you could comprehend. And when the different times in my life, when I got out from underneath the umbrella, which I have done, I had to come down the aisle. I had to kneel at the altar. And I had to repent of my sins, because that's the only way to come back under the umbrella of His forgiveness, is to come back under His terms and conditions. So you may be here this morning and I'm not sure, you know, where you'd be coming from, but my prayer is that you would be serious about understanding and living out God's great salvation this morning. I'm going to voice a prayer, and I would just ask that you as a congregation pray about, where are you? Where are you? Young people, where are you in living out God's call? Think about that. Where are you this morning in living out God's call? Where are you this morning in getting under that umbrella of His great salvation and letting God begin to do some things in your life? Yeah, I use the expression that will blow your mind, because you have no idea what God can do until you get on His terms and conditions, until you live for Him in a way. And I've got so many other stories and illustrations and all that stuff. These team members that are coming, every one of them has got a story, a testimony about how God has worked in their life. I would say this morning, you don't have to wait till that weekend in March to fully understand what God wants you to do. Those of you that have been in church, I sat in church a long time before God ever spoke to me like maybe He spoke to you this morning. And God changed my life in a weekend similar to what you're going to have here in March. And my life has never been the same. But I had to come under that umbrella. And I had to ask God's forgiveness. And God restored that love relationship with Him, just like He restores any other kind of relationship. You can restore that relationship with Christ by coming and meeting Him on His terms and conditions this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you want the very best for all these young people here, for all these adults. Father, you want the very best for your church. You want us to cooperate with you. You want us to be under your umbrella. Lord, more than anything, you want us to live out your call on our life, to be your person, to represent you in all the ways that you choose us to represent you. Father, thank you for letting me and Lena live out a little bit of this great, wonderful salvation process that you have let us join you in your activity literally all over the world. And Lord, I'm grateful for First Baptist Church and what you want to do here even this morning. I pray you will move in the hearts and lives of your people in this day and the days ahead as we come to that weekend in March. But Father, this day could be the best day of some people's lives if they don't know you and they're not under that umbrella. So draw them this morning by the power of your Spirit to yourself. Do it in the power and under the authority in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, whom we pray. Amen.